Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody.
Can you start? Sorry. Sorry about that.
I'm doing a 3 and a 2.
I know. And I was waiting just for that.
3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. Joe and Angel here with another Mailbag Monday. And, honey, what do we have to talk about today?
We have lots of great questions, by the way. Thank you for sending in your questions. We love hearing from you. You can send them to mail@joemcgeeministries.com if you have one. All right, Joe, let's just jump right in here. Did you ever discipline your kids by spanking? Public opinion has changed a lot on this, and it seems that even pastors and teachers are afraid of answering the question. It could be a legal thing. Do you have an opinion?
Sure do. I do have an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. Let's see. When we taught, the first time I taught it officially, when I got paid for it, was on staff at a local church, and we had a parenting class every Sunday evening, and taught that for 8.5 years, and came up pretty quick. You know, we would do question and answer thing at the end of every class. Anybody have any questions? What about spanking? I said, well, what about it? Well, can we do it, not do it? I said, well, the first thing I would do is you have to obey the laws of the land. What are the laws of the land? Because if you disobey the laws of the land, you're going to be in jail, whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the law? So every state's different. They've got different laws in every state, and they've been changing a lot in the last several decades. And so in our state, we are allowed by state law to switch, swat, paddle, and spank, so long as we don't leave a bruise. If we leave a bruise, then that is a 1-year jail sentence and a $250,000 fine. So the penalty is stiff. So we brought a juvenile judge in 2 different times at a parenting seminar to answer, hey, we don't ask questions. You're a juvenile judge. You see things. And we're trying to avoid. We don't want to beat our children, but we do want to discipline based on the Word of God. And so you got to go back to the Bible again. And what are we doing? Well, the Bible says to discipline children. There's 18 scriptures in Proverbs alone about, you know, disciplining children, the use of the rod. You just Google rod, you know, in your Bible thing, and it'll pop up. And so God talked about it a lot. And there were situations when children did not get disciplined where it turned out really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy 17, one couple brought their kids down to the city fathers because they couldn't control them. And the bottom line that day was the city father stoned them to death. So the parents went home without their kids, and they buried their kids, and that problem ended. It's pretty simple. And so I always tell you, just go to the Word of God and find out. So God is a loving God, a caring God, but he does have rules, regulations, rewards, and punishment, Ephesians 6:4. You know, what are the rules for your house? You know, it's usually what kind of mood is mom and dad in, and that's not a rule. So it needs to be based on the Word of God. So my job is to train up my children the way they should go, to teach them, to love them, protect them, you know, make sure they got food to eat and a roof over the head and nice clothes to wear and, you know, safe place to live. There's certain things you're responsible for as a parent, and that's a whole seminar right there. But when it came to discipline, I said, well, what do you do? Well, I'm to discipline my children if they're disobedient. And so what's disobedience? And so, well, we had to break it into age ranges. You see this all the time. You go to the grocery store here in the summertime, be 102, and some mama's got their kid on a little golf cart thing running through the, you know, grocery store or Walmart, and the kid's been on that cart for 2 hours because it's a big place, you know. Used to a grocery store, country grocery store, you can go and be out in 5 minutes, but now you get it's like a 2-hour shopping thing. Well, kids go nuts. They have an attention span. 2-year-old has about a 2-minute attention span. A 5-year-old's got about a 5-minute attention span. So what happens, you start talking about rules, like, well, what are we doing? You sit down and be quiet. You don't touch that. You don't do this. So we got a lot of don'ts, but we don't know the do's. What are you supposed to do? And so you got to keep your kids entertained. So here's the bottom line. I said, well, let's go to the state law. State law of Oklahoma says I can switch and swat, paddle and spank. And see, for what? Well, for violating the rules. What rule? Well, what are the rules of your house? What? What are the rules of your house? I said, well, I don't like my kids. I had 3, so I made it real simple. And people would ask us questions in the seminars. What are your 3 rules? So, well, number 1, no talking back to mom or dad. said, no fighting with your brothers and sisters, no telling a lie. Those are the only three rules I ever had. Had those rules for our whole time at home. And what I'm looking for is this. I'm not looking for perfect kids. There are no perfect kids. There's no perfect parents. And so I said, no talking back to mom and dad. You know, we have the final decision. So you don't want to get in this yelling, screaming, I'm going to count to 10. You better do what I say. Don't threaten. You don't ever threaten. You're the parent. You're the love and take care of that. This child's a gift from God. I'm not supposed to be abusing this child. But I'm also to make sure they don't get cut their life short by being disobedient and doing stuff they shouldn't do. In other words, if I see you playing in the middle of the street, I'm probably going to get you.
Well, I think one of the biggest things as a parent that you're supposed to pass on to your child is the respect for authority.
Thank you.
And understanding authority. It's very important to God and to the kingdom for it to work. And we've had a whole generation of kids that haven't been spanked, and we see the disrespect for authority has grown so fast in just 10 years. It's very disheartening.
Yes.
The biggest thing to me is that you are a reflection of God to your children.
That's it.
So what you teach your children, if one time you just go crazy and yell and scream and spank, do whatever over something, and then the next time they do something similar to that and you wink at it, that's a problem. Because
yes,
what
is.
You're telling them is that there's different levels to sin. What you want to communicate to them that no matter what the crime, the punishment is the same.
Yeah, not based on the mood I'm in.
Yes.
Good mood, bad mood. I can get away with this. No, I can't get away with that. Dad's in a bad mood today.
Yes. And the thing is I think so many times we focus on the wrong things to get upset about with your kid. For my kids, I remember my daughter painted on the wall. She painted her fingernails on my brand new coffee table, and I had to have it resurfaced. And one time she had a brand new car with tan leather interior driving to the mall. She didn't realize she's very quiet. And we're going in, and I go to get out of the car, go to get her out of her car seat. And she has taken a Sharpie black and painted all over, she's very artistic, colored all over the leather and all over her arms and legs and cheeks. And I said, oh, my goodness, Nicole. And so she goes, she starts bursting into tears. People are going to laugh at me. She didn't care at all about my car. She just cared people were going to laugh at her. And so, you know, that was not fun. But I didn't just go off and spank her with that, because I realized there was no ill intent in that. That was as innocent as could be. She was just having fun. Was I irritated by it? Yes, absolutely. But I didn't go crazy over that. Now, what I did, one time my son would open the gate. We lived on a busy corner, and let her out. And I'd just see her running across into the neighbor's yard.
And across the street.
She's out on the street. They had a circular drive. We had one. She liked to just run across the street around each circular drive. So I warned my son one time. And then the next time, because her life was in danger, it's a different situation. That one, I definitely paddled, but I didn't go crazy. All I did was one swat.
Yes.
And so what I was telling him was, when you're in danger or you're disrespectful, those are things I'm going to address.
Yes.
The other things are, we're going to work through, we're going to talk about, we're going to, you know, like, it was so funny, my daughter would always say, I'd say, why did you do that? And she'd say, you didn't tell me I shouldn't. Why didn't you tell me that before? So, you know.
And you cannot tell them what not to do fast enough, because every day's a new revelation to them. Well, you're now three. I couldn't tell you that when you were two, but now you're five, and there's different rules when you're five. And so it changes. So you have to have an ongoing relationship with the kids. And what you're trying to let the kids know, listen, I'm the greatest thing ever happened in your life outside of God. I'm going to be a blessing to you. But I want you, the goal is for you to live a very long, healthy life.
Right.
And if you do these things, it's going to cut your life short. And so I used to tell my kids, it sounds sort of scary. I said, listen, if Jesus tarries, my goal is for you to come to my funeral. I'm not coming to yours.
Right.
It's a long life we're looking for. And so there's certain guidelines. Then you go back to Ephesians 6:4, and he's talking about the train up having rules, regulations, rewards, and punishments.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God made the Ten Commandments. Actually, we're in 10 or 613. The people didn't know they sinned. I didn't know until the law came. Paul said, when the law came, sin revived. I didn't know I was wrong until somebody told me I was wrong.
Right.
And so there's centuries of that going on. But with a kid, they're not just going to be your child until they're 18. They'll be your child when you're 90 and they're 70.
Yeah.
And you're trying to tell them, listen, guys, you're supposed to obey the laws of the land. There's a whole lot of scriptures on that. You can't just drive your car as fast as you want to. You can't peel your tires out of every red light. You can't, you know, skip class. Mm-hmm. There are rules. And what happens, the older you get, the tougher the punishments.
Mm-hmm.
We take them on field trips every now and then. The high school kids go down to the county jail. Went one time to the state pen. I said, listen, you just get out and get messed around and not obeying the laws. You get drunk with a bunch of crazy guys on a Friday night, and you're going to get arrested, and you're going to have a police record, and somebody's going to send you to the juvenile for about a week. But, you know, years later, you do that again, they're going to send you to the state pen. Mm-hmm. The older you get, the harder the punishment. And even humans understood, God said, listen, this should be released. You just don't do this right here, and you can do this right here. It's real mm-hmm. simple. Don't do it. The first sin in the Bible, God told Adam, not that fruit. There's millions of trees on this planet. You can eat from every fruit, from every one, except one. Don't touch that one. Because, you know, when the devil came in, he came to Eve, and he said, you sure, God said, because that's the challenge. Are you sure that's the rule? Well, maybe it's not a fair rule. Maybe we should vote on the rule. I said, this is not a democracy. This is a theocracy. I'm your parent. I love you. You're a gift from God. My job is to raise you up and give you back to God. But you need to leave home knowing that you should obey and respect the authority and not do what you want to when you want to. We call that third world countries, you know.
Right. So. Well, and the other thing is regardless of what type of punishment you pick, make sure you're consistent with it. Let them see that there's consequences to your doing wrong.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Every kid born, some people say, and I thought my oldest son was very laid back, easy. He was a very easy child. And my daughter came in, it was like, whoa, this is what kids are supposed to be like. You know, walk in and she's on top of the refrigerator. So the one thing is that you have to be consistent, and you have to understand that each kid, no matter what their personality, wants boundaries.
Yes, they do.
Every human needs boundaries.
Yes, they do.
And so that is our job as a parent. So, pray about it. You know, one of the biggest things was, for me, talking to other young mothers and, you know, Christians and iron sharpening iron. So, and some I agreed with, some I didn't. And we could go on days talking about this particular subject.
What you're trying to do, really, and we've always, the way you raise your kids has been the way you're supposed to do it. You know, we raised our kids the same way. There are no perfect parents or no perfect kids. We live in an imperfect world. Satan's the god of this world. He steals, kills, and destroys. Jails are full. Prisons are full. You know, there's just a mess everywhere. That's why you have to have rules and regulations. That's why we have police and right. state troopers. We have a military, is to enforce the laws that we've made that hopefully lets people live longer. So what you're trying to do is realize every day that goes by, my children, I need you to make a wise choice. So I'm not doing this just because I'm in a bad mood. The rules of my house is, no, we don't do that here. No, we don't say that here. And you think, well, how many times can they do it? Well, I mean, my children, I remember one time, something simple. Every morning, get ready to go to school. Every kid, hey, did you brush your teeth this morning? Uh-huh. You hope they did. And I had one kid in particular. No, I forgot. Please go do that. We'd appreciate it. Next day, did you brush your teeth? I think it was like 16 years, 3 months, and 2 days later. Did you brush your teeth this morning? Yes, I did. And I thought, well, revelation knowledge has come to my house. But it took years for that to get into them. And you have to create habits. This is what we do, what we don't do. And we'd read stories not only from the Bible, but family members we knew. Mm-hmm. What happened to them? Well, they didn't want to obey the rules. They thought they could live their own life the way they wanted to live it. And right. there are rules that say you can't do that. It was based on the Word of God. So I want you to have a fun time at my house. I want this to be the greatest place you ever visited, my home, fun place. But we do not tolerate these three things in our home. Don't talk back. Now, I'll tell this just real quick. My children were allowed to challenge me. Because there was time I got mad one time and said, new rule in the house. And I got all the kids going, new rule. And I blurted it out. And my oldest daughter at that time, she said, well, Dad, you can make that rule. But if you make that rule, this, and this is going to happen. And I got real quiet. And I thought, okay, that's a dumb rule. Forget that rule. And I realized sometimes it's just not a straight chart, but you got to move forward. Like, okay, well, we'll have to adjust that rule. We're going to do this. Here's the point of the rule. I'm trying to protect you and help you live long. you know, we don't stay out to 2 o'clock in the morning. We don't hang out with people that get drunk. You don't snort dope. You know, you don't, there's things you just don't do. You're trying to live a good long life. That's mm-hmm. the goal. And it's not just because I'm embarrassed or you embarrassed your family name, or you got in trouble. That's not the deal. Mm-hmm. The deal is I want you to obey God and have a nice, long, prosperous life. So that's the reason you had rules. And then you, we don't even get into this much. Like, how many times you spank your kids? And I said, listen, six kids, 8 years of parenting. I gave 5 swats in 80 years. And it's like, it's the last thing I do. I don't threaten. I tell parents, don't ever threaten your kids. Don't yell. Guys, here's the rule. If you do this, it'll be fine. If you do this, I'll swat you. It's legal in my state. And I'm not going to warn you ahead of time. I don't ever get caught in a store or a grocery store. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. If you do that again, I'm going to do this. Don't ever do that. You've got a rule. They know what it is. Mm-hmm. And I used to tell people, and people laugh when I do my seminar. I said, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm going to be like a stealth bomber coming down the hallway. You're not going to hear me come. I just don't want you to do that. I want you to live a long, happy, prosperous life. So we got 3 rules. They're very fair. And every kid will push them different. Every kid wakes up different every day. I had a great day yesterday. Today I'm in a bad mood. We're going to help you get through that bad mood because everybody goes through that.
Yes.
We're trying to help you get to maturity.
Right.
We're not trying to make this a prison or a bad place. We're trying to help you live a happy, long life and grow up mature.
Yeah, but I do want to say on a side note, my son would never brush his teeth. And then one day, the first grade teacher did that. Do you remember in school when the dentist comes and they give you that red pill?
Oh.
And they take it and it shows all the crud on your teeth?
Woo.
Let me tell you, my son came home. Man tore upstairs. He's brushing the enamel off of that joker. He says, there's bugs in my teeth.
Yeah, no, that was great,
so,
man. That is
so
a great thing
side
to do.
Note, that's a little quick cure. Just drop by your local dentist and ask for a couple of those pills.
That'll work, guys.
All right. Joe, I feel I show my spouse I love them by doing as much as I can for them, but it seems to go unnoticed. Can I just jump in on this one quickly?
I think you're going to.
My daughter and I are very similar in that we have come to the conclusion that the people that we love the most will not praise us like we feel is necessary. So we have taken to praising ourselves. And this is how it works. Joe, did you like that breakfast that I cooked for you? Was that frittata good?
Yes, it was, Sugar Mama.
So sometimes you have to dig for the praise. Did you notice?
And guys, you thank it before you eat it, while you're eating, and after you ate it. That was good. I love that. That's great. I'll have that again tomorrow.
So sometimes you have to stroke the fires of praise, unfortunately, because everybody, that isn't something that everybody was raised with or they even know about.
I know. Not everybody's button is the same. It's not pushed different. Some people need praise. Some don't need it at all.
I need lots just in case.
Yes, you
were wondering.
Yes, ma'am. I know that. I'm getting more acquainted with you every day. Yes, ma'am. Oh, Lord.
That is frustrating, especially when you feel like you're going the extra mile and someone doesn't notice. I honestly would just sit down and have a real heart-to-heart, and you probably will have to have more than one, and you may have
to do it
periodically.
Yes, you will. And guys, you need to listen to this. This is real important because we all came out different. If you don't need it, that doesn't mean your spouse doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
If your spouse needs it, you better get a notebook and write that down. My spouse needs this.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't say, well, how come you need this? Do you always have to be thanked? Do I have to say something nice every time? Well, yes, you do. If they need it, you're supposed to supply that need. That's part of your job.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And actually, that kind of brings us into this next question. So we'll just kind of move on into that. And it'll kind of help with this question. Can you explain the language of love thing? Because I don't seem to be making them feel loved. So I've read the book. Have you read it?
Yes, I have.
I actually like the book. Now, let me see if I can remember the 5 languages. It's quality time, which is mine. And funny how I remember that one really well.
Yeah, that's the top of the list. Got that one out first. Boom.
If you love me, you're going to spend time with me. Gifts. Acts of service, like taking out the trash and doing stuff like that.
Without having to be told.
Physical touch.
Yes.
And what's the 5th one? Do you remember, Mike, the 5th one? I'm trying to think. Well, anyway.
Read the book, though. It's good.
Yeah, it's a really good book. It is excellent. I think everybody should read it. But so my language of love is quality time completely. Joe, what is your language of love?
I don't have a clue. I when I grew up,
I think your quality time.
I do love quality time. I like spending time. And what's great, people, and they ask us, even this last week, we had several questions and comments about our marriage. And I said, I just like being around Angel. I like sitting in the car with her. We like talking about everything. We didn't need a subject. We can just talk. And then there's times, I remember we come back this last weekend, had a full weekend. It was really good. We had a late drive back. And so Angel's driving. And I said, honey, you gonna be okay for a while? Because it's about a three-hour drive. And I said, yeah. And then I would tell them, Angel, I think I'm going to take a nap. They're going to be okay? I'm not asking permission. I'm just telling you, I can't keep my eyes open. I'm going to take a nap. I love you. I like being with you. But I'm about to go out right here. And then Angel would check on me about every 5 minutes. Joe, you sleeping? Not yet. I'm thinking about it. Can you not rest? I'm real restful. I'm just real relaxed right here. But I just want to make sure you need to know that I may just close my eyes right now and be gone in a second. And you need to talk to one another about what is it you need. Well, I need some time. I just want you to let's go sit on the couch. Let's go for a walk. Let's do something.
Well, and in regards to this book particularly, like let's say that Joe's his language of love is gifts. Which is not his language of love at all, but I'm just going to say for this sake, it's gifts. Yep. And mine is quality time. Well, so typically what would happen is because he wants gifts, he would just buy me a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And that would not mean much to me. It'd be like, oh, nice, thanks, yay. But then and the same thing back to him, I would be sitting there on the couch next to him under his armpit, and he's like, why didn't she go buy me a new suit or something. And so we're trying to tell someone that we love them in the language that we need. So my suggestion is to say, what is it that really gets my spouse? Which of those five things really, really gets them moving? Is it when I take out the garbage? Is it when I touch them? Is it, physical touch? Is it, some people are really, really touchy.
Yes.
And so that is very, very important to them. And
yes.
Other people are like, don't touch me. That's embarrassing. Don't do that out in public.
I know. Like, I'm touching them. Come on, back out. What is this?
Yeah, so you have to find out what it is that speaks love to your spouse.
And listen, the book was great, but you don't have to read it. You just need to ask your spouse. Sugar,
right.
What is it that you like most of?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would just ask blunt questions just from time to time. And we still do it, Angel. What is it you really like about our marriage? What do you like most about this?
The friendship.
Yeah.
Me.
I didn't realize
you weren't really asking.
No,
me
I was
that.
Asking. I was. But if you don't, you'll get to the point where you think, and people have laughed at this so much. I tell people, I took my wife on our anniversary, I took her to a seafood restaurant for the first 30 years of our marriage because that's what my dad did to my mom. I thought it must be a great thing, seafood. And so we're at our 30th anniversary, and four of our kids are with us. Two of them flew down from college just for the summer. We're on vacation. 5-star restaurant, private room, all 8 of us having a good time, seafood, because I love it. And I noticed my wife wasn't eating. I said, something wrong with your food, sir? She said, no. She said, Joe, is this a good seafood restaurant? I said, honey, this is a 5-star restaurant. It's one of the best restaurants in town. And I said, "What was there something wrong with your food? She said, well, I just realized something. I said, what? She said, I don't like seafood. I said, well, honey, you've been taking it there for 30 years. it's like... I've been taking, and she said, well, I just figured you never could find a good seafood restaurant. But if this is a good one, I don't like seafood. I like steak. Now, all of my kids are with me. Two of them are in college. And I teach them marriage. And they said, good Lord, Dad, you didn't know that. No, honey, I love your mother. But I've been with her 30 years, and I thought it's been going really good. That's been a revelation. For the first time in 30 years, I've realized my wife does not like seafood. Well, it's because we never talked about it. I just assumed my mom liked it. I assumed she liked it. She never said she didn't like it. It was always a nice restaurant. We've had good memories, and we laughed, we talked, and said, oh, she loved that. But I never said, hey, honey, by the way, did you like the seafood? And she probably said, no, Joe, I don't like seafood. And I thought, good Lord, I should have asked that question earlier. And there's many things that you don't stay the same. My wife's not the same. Angel, I've been married, 14 months now?
Mm-hmm.
We're still learning things about each other. And that will be the same till Jesus comes every day because you don't stay the same. We're still growing in the things of God.
Yeah.
I'll make different decisions next year. I'm probably going to make this year because I'm going to have more knowledge. Hopefully I'm closer to God. I got more of the word in me. And when you change, that's not a bad thing. It's just the way life is. You're supposed to grow in the grace of God. You just grow up. So you got to keep contacting, talking to one another, what you'd like to do, where you like to go. Oh, you don't like it anymore. Okay, I'll make a note of that. And that's what you do.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just communicate. That's the big thing.
It is. Otherwise, you yell.
If you hold stuff in, that never works because it just bottles up and then explodes.
Decibel level goes up, and that's never good.
Take time each week to just set aside some time and just communicate with
your
spouse.
Get a cup of coffee. Just sit down for about 30 minutes. Just talk. Yep. Hey, what do you think? Hey, how's life going? You like I'm one of the biggest revelations. I remember one time, and I'd built the home I was in. I said, "Hey, do you like our house?" And she said, "No." I said, "What? You loved it. We planned on it. We prayed for it. We worked for years to get ready to do it, and we built it ourselves, and it's just what we wanted." "No, I don't like it." "What do you don't like about it?" "Well, I don't like two-story house. I'm tired of going up and down stairs. I want a single-level house." I thought, well, that would have been good. And we didn't get mad. We just realized what we came to was the greatest revelation. They're going to change. I don't care who you marry. They're going to change. That's not a bad thing. That's just life.
Yep, that is true. Well, that wraps up today. But before we go, I did want to say in regards to that question, I thought to mention that earlier and I didn't, about spanking and discipline.
Yes.
I really would recommend that you get Joe's book, God Knows How to Raise Your Kids Even If You Don't. It is such a great go-to for any parent. You can get it at joemcgeeministries.com.
Get it at your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, and get it all over the country.
Yeah, so I would recommend that. Thanks so much, and please don't forget to send us your questions at mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
God bless, guys. Thank you. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it. All there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.